So Christmas is all about the bridegroom and the bride. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, I hope you'll keep in mind God's greatest gift. God's greatest gift. This is the Christmas season, and there's going to be a lot of people exchanging gifts. We're going to receive some gifts that we don't even know what they are or what you do with them. We're going to receive things that just not us. They don't fit our personality, our lifestyle, but they're given with love in their heart. They're given after much sacrifice. Well, I'm here to tell you today that God gave us a gift 2,000 years ago that everyone needs. Everyone needs this gift. The Bible says, thanks be unto God. That's the praise. And then for His unspeakable gift. What a resource. What a gift that we have. By way of introduction, there's a verse that tells me just a little bit about this gift that's really mind-boggling. It's remarkable. It's a gift that really I can't understand other than the fact that God loved us that much. The Bible says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? So the gift that we're talking about is a promised gift. Number one, if you're keeping notes, my outline's on the back of the bulletin if you'd like to look at that. A promise gift. Please remember, the gift of the Lord Jesus coming into the world was not a passing fancy of God Almighty the Father. It was something that was planned before He made the worlds. A promised gift. Then the Bible teaches us in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, 750 years before the Christ child was born in Bethlehem, the prophet said, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. God with us. God in human form. Behind the veil, God always was. But He stepped out of eternity into time and became a man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God, and step out of time into eternity. That's what Christmas is all about. An invasion from eternity, planned in the mind of God before He made the worlds. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, the prophet said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Not only was it a promised gift, it was a passionate gift. I know all of the husbands are out probably this week, next week, are usually waiting till Christmas Eve to find that special gift for that sweet wife. We don't get in a hurry shopping. We wait till the last minute. And then we run in, we get it, we run out, and our Christmas shopping is over and done for the whole year. Amen, guys? Raise your hand. We know what we want. We know where it's at. We know what it costs. We don't shop. We just go get it, and we come home. But there really is in our hearts, ladies, a passion. We want to give you our sweet wives, our angels, our black-eyed peas, a gift of love that some way speaks to you, ladies, about how much you mean to us. and how blessed we are to have you in our lives. A passionate gift. But all of the passion that we could pour into the gifts that we give our mates could not compare with the passion that God put into His gift that He gave us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. So loved. How could you explain so loved? God so loved the world. What passion are in those two words? So it was not only a promised gift and a passionate gift, it was a personal gift. How many of you guys have ever got a gift that it just wasn't personal? You know, sometimes if we love to fish and they get us an oil pan. If we love to go to ball games, they don't give us our favorite jersey. Something that's just simply not personal. You know, the value sometimes is not necessarily the most important thing, it's the personalness of it. Something that is us. Something that's me. Martha looks diligently to find something that is me. She's still looking for a hairpiece and hadn't found it yet. But I think all of us want something that is personal. Something that identifies with us and our physique and our personality, something that we enjoy doing, something that when we look at that as we're doing what we enjoy, we'll be reminded of how personal it was. She thought of me and gave me a gift that I could really use. Well, the gift of Christ is a personal gift. He gave it to you, and to you, and to you, and to you, and to me. He gave it to me. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God Almighty saw fit to meet a personal need I had and a personal need you had, because it's a practical gift. Have you ever got anything you just couldn't use? You just couldn't use it. First of all, you didn't even know what it was. You know, you'd say, you tear the paper open, look at the gift, and there it is. And someone across the room says, well, what did you get? And the person that gave it to you is sitting right by you, and you say, what is this? What do you do with it? What's the purpose of it? How many of you have already made a plans to take a day off the day after Christmas to carry things back that you don't even know what they are? They don't match. They're too big. They're too little. They're just not practical. You can't use them. But the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Revelation 3:23. All of us need the gift of a Savior. Every one of us. Every man, woman, boy, or girl that's ever been born needed the gift of eternal life that Jesus Christ has provided for the whole world. What a gift. What a gift that you have received. What a gift I have received. It's something that I needed. And thank God I had wisdom enough to receive that gift a long, long time ago. Because the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's a practical gift. But it's also a purposeful gift. There's a purpose behind the gift. What is the purpose? The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. That's Ephesians 2, verse 8. Then it goes on to say in John 1, 10 through 12, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. And the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But, listen, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. What is the purpose of the gift of Christ? It's this, that you and I might become the sons of the Most High Almighty God, adopted into His family, cleansed by His precious blood that was spilt on Calvary. The gift of Christ is also a pleasing gift. You know, I don't know of anything that I've ever received that pleased me more than what Jesus did for me 50 years ago. You know, I've never gotten over that. I don't think I ever will. I hope I don't. Every time I think about what Jesus did for me 50 years ago, a smile not only comes to my face, it comes in my heart, and I have joy unspeakable and full of glory. What a gift God gave me when He gave me Christ, who died on the cross for me, that He could become my Savior and wash my sin away. What a pleasing gift. Now, we're going to get some gifts that's not going to be very pleasing to us. And let me tell you one. The bill from the Visa, January 1. Someone said, "Pastor, what would you do if you won the lottery?" Well, I'll tell you what I would do. Number one, I'd pay off Visa, MasterCard, I'd have to wait. There's going to be some gifts we receive that's not going to be pleasing. But you remember Paul never got over the fact that God saw fit to save him. He said in 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 17, listen to what Paul said. "And I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Christ was also a perfect gift. A perfect gift. Some of our children will receive gifts and they'll be torn up by sundown Christmas Day. The wheels will run off. The motors will quit. They'll be in five pieces. That new bike will have a skint place on the fender. And the child will have a skint mark on his head, probably. A perfect gift. Jesus Christ is God's perfect gift. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Well, let me just ask you a question. Have you ever received a permanent gift? Have you ever received something that's going to go on into eternity with you, and it'll never rot, it'll never rust, it'll never need a coat of paint? Well, I've got news for you. Jesus Christ is a permanent gift. Permanent. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, said these words, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus Christ, not only a permanent gift, He is the powerful gift. Where there the remission of these sins are, there is no more offering for sin. This man, according to Hebrews, offered one sacrifice for sin forever and sat down at the right hand of God. What a powerful gift to offer something that would please God enough that sin could be eradicated from our lives and our past be buried in the God sea of forgetfulness. What a powerful gift. Now listen to me. Hear me today. Hear your pastor. You know, we trample the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, underfoot. Listen. When we think we are forgiven because we feel sorry for our sins. When we think we are forgiven because we feel sorry for our sins, we trample under our feet the blood of the Son of God. Let me go on. The only reason that I am forgiven and you are forgiven by Almighty God is that Jesus Christ died for us on Calvary. Our repentance is just merely the result of our personal realization of the atonement, the blood sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross. Once we realize that Christ has become all that God wants us to be, the limitless joy of God fills our souls. I'll never forget when I was in the second grade. We were raised on a farm, and I'm sure Sister Betty remembers this. Dad worked in a cotton mill in Rome and sharecropped on the side. Very hard worker. Times were tough for us. We didn't have a whole lot, but we had what we needed. We had a home where we loved one another, and we had food, and we had clothing, we had shelter, and we really didn't know we was as bad off till somebody told us, you know. But I'll never forget, there was a man who, unbeknown to me, worked with my dad, who ran a bicycle shop in Lindale, Georgia. And Dad had ordered me a little swim bike, size 20. It was secondhand. It wasn't a new one, it was a second-handed one. And I'll never forget, we drove up in the man's yard, and I said, "Dad, why did we stop here? Why did we stop here?" He said, "Well, we got to pick up something." And we get out, he said, "Get out, son." So I got out, and we walked around the house, and here comes the proprietor, the owner of the bicycle shop, pushing a little blue Swin 20-inch bicycle. He said, "Try it out, son." I wore the tires off pushing it before I learned to ride it. Never in my life have I ever enjoyed such a gift as that. God met a need in my heart through my father to get me a bicycle. And I don't know if I've ever appreciated a gift any more than that 20-inch bicycle. Dad gave $2.50 for that bicycle. That was a lot of money then. But he couldn't have gotten me anything that I treasured more. And God has given me something that there's nothing else I could treasure more than what I've got in Christ. I have the righteousness of God, the wisdom of God, and I have God living in me. I have God living in me. Whatever, no matter what or who we are, God restores us to a right standing with Him only by the means of His death on Calvary. God does not do this for any other reason other than the fact that Jesus died for us. All the pleading for salvation, which deliberately ignores the cross of Christ, is useless. There's no other way to come into God's presence other than by the blood of Jesus Christ. Peter put it this way: "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." I trust that you have received the gift. But let me give you a definition of a gift. A gift is something that someone gives you. It's not something that you earn. It's not anything that you labor for. You really can't inherit it. It's got to be given. And if you're saved today, if you're part of the family of God, it's because you received a gift. A gift that was born in a manger 2,000 years ago and lived 33 years and died on a cruel cross that you could be forgiven of your sin. So Christmas is more than what we make out of it. It's more than commercialism. It's the fact that God reached down from heaven with a gift in His hands, and that gift was a babe in a manger. Born there 2,000 years ago in most adverse circumstances, God became a man and died for you and for me on Calvary. This gift of Christ is also a precious gift. You know the definition of precious? Precious means to be highly prized, extensively valuable, a treasure. The gift of Christ is a precious gift. Romans 5:8 says these words, "But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." 1 Peter 2:7, "Unto you therefore, which believe, He is precious." Is He precious to you today? He is to me. He's precious. When these ladies were singing, I was drawn back 2,000 years ago when I was sitting in that cave and I was looking at God's gift to man. How precious that night must have been. How precious when God let the shepherds, the nobodies of the world, come and see the Christ child. When God sent wise men that brought Him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. That's not just an accident. Gold was always presented to a king. Frankincense was given to a priest to burn in incense as the prayers went up. And myrrh was used for the embalming of a body. So they brought the gift that typified the life of the Lord. He would be king, He would be priest, and He would be prophet to die for our sins. In Bethlehem, that wasn't just an accident. Three things in the Word of God that were found in Bethlehem. Samuel found a king, David. Ruth found a kinsman redeemer in Boaz. And the shepherds found a Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only is He king, not only did He become a man and be related to us that He could redeem us. Isn't that amazing? Before God made the world, before there was a Judea, and before there was a Bethlehem, and before there was the shepherds, and before they had the wise men, and before the decree of the Roman Caesar, God had already laid out a plan to hand you a gift and to hand me one. I hope you've received that gift this morning. I trust that you have. I trust that everyone here has already received the gift of gifts, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. I've asked Brother Gary to come and sing a song of invitation for us this morning. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. And I want to give you an opportunity this morning to receive the gift of gifts, the greatest gift, that's Jesus Christ. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not freely with Him give us all things? Every head is bowed. Brother Gary's going to come and sing a song of invitation. We'll be here to greet you and to meet you and to show you how you can take a free gift home with you. The free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, as we extend the invitation this morning, as the invitation is sung, Father, we thank You for the beautiful singing, the sweet spirit that we have in the church today. We thank You for the attendance of Your faithful people. We thank You for the excitement and the anticipation of Christmas. But let us remember what Christ did for us, and what Christmas is all about. The joy of giving, the giving of to others. And I thank you for what you gave to us. As we sing, I want to thank you that I have blessed assurance in my life that the Savior is also my Lord and my coming King. And I pray that we might remember the blessed assurance that goes with knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. Father, bless the invitation. There are those who are visiting with us or that would like to become a part of the fellowship, the kingdom of God here in this place. I pray they'd come. And I pray for that one that has never received the gift of Christ, Lord, that they'd do that this morning. As Christians pray, as Brother Gary sings, may you be honored and glorified. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.